Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. I'm Leanne Pruitt, your host. I'm so excited you're with us today. We have Scott Mayer today, who is just going to give us some really amazing information. Scott, welcome. Thanks so much for being here.
Awesome, Leanne. I am glad to be here and hope that I can provide some benefit for your listeners as we go in today.
Wonderful. So let me tell you guys a little bit about Scott. So now in 2017, Scott and his wife, Carrie, started their company, Inspired Stewardship, as a business to serve Christian men and couples that are struggling to live out their calling. They work to help align the way you use your time, your talent, and your treasures so that you can identify and live a fully authentic life. It allows you to live your calling, serve others, and provide for your family. Now, he's a certified human behavior consultant. Well, you and your wife both are certified human behavior consultants, and they're members of the John Maxwell team. And what they do is they focus on helping you understand yourself, understand others, and through understanding, build the kingdom. Now, you were in education. Well, you and your wife both were in education for almost
just
30
me.
Years.
Yeah.
Oh, just
yeah.
You. Okay.
Yeah.
So you were in education for almost 30 years. And then in 2011, you had a calling to become a coach. So you started coaching then. And from that, it grew into Inspired Stewardship, which you started in 2017. And now this is a full-time business for you. You offer assistance through one-on-one coaching, speaking, and workshops. That is so cool. I love what you do, and I love what you focus on. And I love the title, a human behavior consultant.
Yeah, that's actually training through a program that helps utilize the DISC as the framework, but it's really focused on understanding how we communicate, understanding how others communicate, and then facilitating that communication. Because, you know, I think all of us have had that situation where you're talking to somebody or you're trying to get something across to somebody. It's like, are we speaking two different languages? Usually the answer is actually you are.
Well, yes. Well, you know what? That is really, really, really fascinating. Now, I believe you help people with their finances and you help people with time management. I understand you don't like the word management.
Though. No, I call it productivity instead of time management.
So I was going to ask you about time management and productivity, but we're going to forget the time management, just productivity. So tell me, how did you get started doing all of this from the education and going into what you're doing now?
Right. So the way back in the beginning, first off, my mother will correct you if you say I started coaching back in 2011, because her comment is, you know, Scott, you were a coach when you were like 8 years old. because, you know, I've always done that. That's always been my mindset, this way of engaging with others. And it actually, if you think about it, even when I was a school teacher, I did that for 16 years. There's still a big coaching component. I moved into the corporate world. I did that for 11 years. I moved up into senior leadership, where I had, you know, leaders reporting to me who had people reporting to them. My philosophy and my approach to leadership was really a coaching philosophy. You know, I would work to develop the leaders and develop the teams. That's how we did things better, you know, as opposed to other forms of leadership.
Right.
So the coaching approach has really been throughout my whole life. However, in turning it into a business, what happened is back in 2011, my wife and I actually went through our own financial journey a few years before, and we began to have people asking us, you know, how did you do that? How did you get out of debt? How did you, because we're completely debt-free, mortgage and everything, and that's an unusual occurrence. So people started asking questions. So we started sitting down and helping people, and that turned into a coaching thing, first as a ministry. Then we turned it into a little small business on the side. Mm-hmm. I was still working in the corporate world at that time, and we grew it slowly over time. And then in 2017, basically said, okay, let's take the leap. You know, we've got the boat going well. The side business is working, not making nearly as much as I am in my day job, but we're able to do everything we need to do with just this income. Mm-hmm. Let's take the leap and take it full time. And so that's for the last few years now, that's been our full-time business. But the thread of coaching really and truly goes all the way back to the beginning. It's just, I didn't call it coaching then, that makes sense.
I mean, you know, it really does make sense, because I can see, like, you know, when you were in education, I mean, what coaching is like empowering people to find the best in themselves and find that that thing in themselves that, you know, that they, that there's, they want to do and that they do well and stuff like that, and letting them be them, you know, you do right. you, and you know, I'm not going to, you know, bear down on you. And I mean, and that's a wonderful way to be a leader, to be a, you know, to be a boss and to be, you know, that too. So I can see, mm-hmm. yeah, certainly the thread is there, that's clearly your calling. Now let me ask you this. The title of this online show is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. Mm-hmm. So what does Ace Your Space, or just the title of the series in general, what does that mean to you?
So when I first kind of heard about this and we had a conversation and you told me kind of what you were trying to do, it was interesting because when I'd first seen the title before I'd had any conversation, immediately what jumped to mind to me is I think a lot of times what we do in our life is we let life happen to us instead of us happening to our lives. It, instead of being intentional, we tend to be reactive. Yes. And for me, a lot of this was about stepping back and figuring out what do you want to say yes to, as opposed to what do you want to say no to. I think a lot of times we look at everything, whether it's time, whether it's energy, whether it's money, you know, whether it's our physical space, whether it's our closet, you know, whatever, it's about, oh, what do I want to get rid of? Well, I love to turn that around. And that's what jumped to my mind originally was, what are we going to say yes to? Everything else goes away. And so that decluttering becomes more about what you allow in than what you take out. It's subtle and it's a weird switch in mindset, but the fact that you put at the end reclaim your energy is what made me go, oh, that's really, she's talking about this, you know, she's not talking about getting rid of everything, because let's face it, nobody really wants to get rid of stuff. You know, that sounds painful, but what are we going to say yes to so that the positive energy comes back into our life and we're living a life like we want to, as opposed to the way life kind of sometimes happens to us.
I really love that answer. That is so good. And that is true. It's like, if you focus on what you really want to say yes to, the other things fall away. Mm-hmm. I love that. So now I really did want to, have you on the schedule because, like, you know, we've talked about clutter is not just physical stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, I believe clutter is really anything that gets in the way of you, your goals and dreams, what you want to do in life. You know, and that can be like the big things, like your magnificent mm-hmm. obsession, or it could be just wanting to go sit on the porch and be able to read a book or watch the birds, something like that. Yeah. So that's what, you know, clutter to me is anything that gets in the way of that. And so often we have cluttered, you know, schedules, our productivity, I won't use that TM word, you know, our productivity suffers, and that in itself is the clutter that's keeping us from doing what we're doing. So what have you seen that, like, when people actually are able to get a handle on their, you know, on their schedule and productivity and stuff like that, what kind of things open up for them?
Mm-hmm. So let me call out, by the way, why I don't like the word time management, because there's somebody right now who's listening going, okay, we're avoiding the word. Why are we avoiding the word? A lot of times for folks, time management, there's two kind of misnomers or kind of mindsets that those words I've discovered over time bring to mind for people. And so one is this idea of, you know, I've got a finite amount of time, which is true. You have 168 hours in the week. So does everybody else. Now, what do I do to maximize that? To, you know, put as much things into it. So I've got to sleep less. I've got to, you know, eat meals on the run. I've got to do all of this stuff. How can I cram more stuff into that 168 hours? And that's kind of one philosophy of time management. I don't like that. You know, I look at it and go, this is not good. It's not healthy. It's not efficient. You know, talking about what we're talking about now with decluttering, it's definitely cluttering your life, not decluttering your life, because you're just cramming more stuff in. The other one that I've seen that happens is because we think of it as managing our time, we get focused on the time part of it. How, you know, sit there with a stopwatch. How many hours did it take me to do this? How many hours did it take me to do that? How many hours? And yeah, that's important in terms of you want to know some information about how you're using your time. But the real focus, again, is taking a step back and going from a mindset perspective, from a heart and a mind perspective, how do you decide what really is the most important stuff? Right. Let's make sure we put that in first, you know, as opposed to what a lot of times we do, which is we fill up our schedule and then kind of go, okay, where's the most important thing going to fit now around the margins, you know, in the time that's left over.
You know, it reminds me of that experiment that I've heard about, where the professor went in to his students and like put all the sand in first and said, now, can you put these in? And they couldn't. But if they put the big things in first, and then there was room for it to fit in the little thing. So it's how you
Stephen Covey actually in one of his early books, and he used to do this in workshops, and he would physically do that. That's kind of where that actually came from, the idea of put the big rocks in first. That's even an expression now, right, that we use. It came from that idea. But it's, you know, here's the thing. It's true, you know, just because somebody said it 60 years ago doesn't make it any less true. You know, it's, and yet we don't do it. And so that's where I move to the word productivity, because productivity to me does not mean getting more things done or getting things done faster. Okay. That's efficiency. Instead, it means getting the right things done. Mm-hmm. And guess who gets to define what the right things are? Not me, you know, except for me. I get to define that for myself, but I don't get to define that for anybody else. Your right things are going to look totally different than my right things. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make it wrong. It just means we're different people. And so we have different priorities. We have different values. We're at different stages of life. Because let's face it, your right things at 20 are probably different than your right things at 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever, because your life has changed. You're in a different stage of life. That's as it should be. And yet a lot of times we almost feel like that's wrong. You know, somehow we're failing because things have changed. Well, no, it's just you're in a different stage of life. The trick is to step out of that and be really intentional first with that mindset work. Mm-hmm. Identify what's most important to you. Right. And then you almost want to do an audit, you know, kind of look at your calendar, look at your bank account, and are you in alignment? If I say my family is the most important thing, and yet I'm consistently missing my son's band concert, is it really the most important thing?
Right.
You know, that can be a little confronting, you know. And if it isn't, you know, it's also, by the way, fine to say, well, I say this is my most important thing. And then you look at your calendar and you go, well, maybe it's not my most important thing, and change what you say your most important thing is. That's fine. Yeah. You know, it's not necessarily that you have to change your calendar, but that's where the decluttering comes in, because it's really looking at it and thinking, is this in alignment? And so that's why I've moved from saying time management, which carries some baggage, into productivity, which is getting the right things done at the right times.
Gotcha. I will ask, when people really are able to do that, to get to where they are, you know, being, I guess, honest with themselves and identifying their priorities and able to put that in, what kind of things open up for them?
Yeah. So for a lot of my clients and different people that I've worked with, as well as myself personally, it really changes the game, because here's the thing. It gets rid of a lot of guilt. I will tell you, there was a period in my life where I wasn't at my son's band concerts. I wasn't at the football games when he was playing. He's in the band. So, you know, I wasn't there when he was playing. Right. I was skipping the family events, and yet I was saying family's important. And inside you is that cognitive dissonance of I'm saying one thing and I'm living a different thing.
Right.
With that comes guilt. With that comes frustration. With that comes exhaustion. Mm-hmm. I was skipping, you know, I would sleep 4 hours a night. Mm-hmm. It was affecting my health. Okay. So there was health impacts. There were financial impacts, because, again, turns out that I wasn't doing as well as I should have health-wise. Well, guess what? That cost me money. Right. You know, I wasn't doing as well as I would health-wise. That made me less efficient. So I now had to work longer hours. Mm-hmm. So it's this negative feedback loop. When you reverse that and begin to kind of focus in and identify and put those things and get into alignment, the cognitive dissonance begins to fall away. The guilt begins to fall away. you begin to sit down and go, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You feel like you're more in alignment with your true being, who you really are at your core. So everything, you know, it's interesting because there's keystone habits in our life, and our, you know, our physical space affects us. Mm-hmm. The environment, the people we hang out with affect us. Our finances affect all areas of our life. Our health affect all areas of our life. So does our time and our productivity. They affect all areas of our life. And what I found is if I work with somebody in one area, almost inevitably the other areas get improved too. Mm-hmm. Because discipline in one of those keystone areas tends to affect everything. So, you know, the irony is you get, quote, more in alignment with your time and your productivity, and your whole life improves, which sounds like now I'm selling snake oil, but it's true. But it's because it's a keystone habit. It affects all areas of our life.
Well, you know, I guess what came to mind when I was hearing you describe that was like, you know, just how when you do get that cognitive dissonance cleared up, and when you really are in alignment, just how peaceful and calm mm-hmm. would be inside. And I mean, and that right there, you freed up time because you're not spending time battling yourself in your brain, and you reclaimed energy because you're not spending that energy doing the same thing.
You get rid of some of the worry, you know, which is what worry is described as. You're sitting in a rocking chair, rocking back and forth really fast, hoping you go somewhere. You know, you're spending a lot of energy, you're making a lot of motion, but you're not really making any progress, you know? So, yeah. And that's what we do though. And if you can get rid of that, that energy goes somewhere. And it usually goes where we want it now. You know, again, that's that intentionality piece of designing it as opposed to just letting it happen to you. Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you, what has your relationship to clutter been like throughout your life? How has that impacted you?
So I've always been known as kind of I'm a little OCD, you know, or a little bit, you know, there's other words we can use that I won't use, but basically, you know, I'm the guy that kind of like, I want everything to have a place, everything to be in that place. Mm-hmm. I get a little frustrated when it's not in the place. Okay. That's kind of been my attitude. So at work, you know, when I was in the corporate world, at the end of the day, my desk was clear. You know, there was literally nothing on top of my desk except my computer. That's kind of how I always did it. What's interesting is since I've moved out of the corporate environment and the teaching environment, I've gotten a little bit more relaxed about it. There's mm-hmm. a good side to that, a bad side to that. The bad side is I have to be very intentional now about saying, stop, let's spend 3 hours, declutter my physical environment, clean it up, make sure, you know, what I'm looking at when I'm interviewing and working with a client is appropriate and clean and ready to go, because I know it affects me. Because mm-hmm. if I'm talking to a client and there's a big mess over here to the right-hand side, part of my brain is going, oh, you really need to get those papers organized. You need to go through that stuff. And I'm not in here engaged and focused and giving my all to what I should be paying attention to right now, which is supporting the client and coaching them and working with them. So there's always going to be a part of you that's kind of niggled by that. Yeah. That being said, I don't want to go all the way back to kind of the overly rigid about it either, because there is a degree to which, you know, as an example, there's some papers that are right here within arm's reach. Yes. They should stay right there within arm's reach because that's what they're there for.
Yes.
So it is kind of getting to know what is important and organizing it in a way that, you know, for me makes sense to my body, mind, and keeps me in alignment. When I do that, again, it brings my attention, it brings my energy, it brings all of those things back into focus where I can be in the moment in a more authentic way. Mm-hmm. Clutter pulls me out of that moment because there's always a part of me at the back of my head that's worried about, oh, we need to clean out the closet, you know, or whatever. Oh, I need to clean the desk over here, or, oh, I need to go get rid of the spider webs, whatever it is, you know, there's something, right? So it's some balance in that too, though, is good, because I think sometimes we aim for perfection. Mm-hmm. And perfection is kind of like a bully in a schoolyard. You know, you as you approach it, it draws a new line and takes a step back. And you it's an ever receding goal. You never really get there.
Yes.
Right. So I do think we have to free ourselves from the idea of, you know, oh, my house must be immaculate. Everything must be perfect and in this exact place all the time. Because that's just not how the world works.
You know what? I love what you said, because it is so true. Like, clutter really does take up physical and mental bandwidth. Even
Absolutely.
If you think that your clutter is not bothering you, it is on some level. So yeah. I love that you said that. Alrighty. Let's see what it often. Okay. My next question here. Often, people, they think they realize that they're not achieving what they want in their lives. They're in that rocking chair, rocking back and forth fast. Yeah. And so they may do things, they may try and change and focus on getting busier. Like we were talking about shoving all that time in that 168 hour week, working harder. And we've already identified that that's really not the place to direct their focus. So what should they be focusing on instead?
So the first thing, it's kind of the old, you can look it up. There's a Bob Newhart routine from way back in the day where basically somebody comes in and needs some help, and he's supposed to be like the psychologist or the doctor, and they pay him $5, and then he goes, "Stop it."
Yeah,
that's it. That's the whole, that's the whole help, right? Because there is a degree to which we all know this isn't the right thing to do, and yet stopping it is hard. Mm-hmm. And what you should be doing instead, just to answer that specific question, is cutting out of your life the things that are not important by saying no to those things. Mm-hmm. Flip it. I say do that by finding first what is the most important and saying yes to those. Mm-hmm. So it's sitting down and saying, my son's band concert. I'm going to keep using that example because it's my personal example. Right. Fill in your own personal example. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing right now. He's a senior. This is his last year. Mm-hmm. Calendar came out. First thing I did is I went in there and blocked out and said, here's all of those events that I already know I'm going to have to be. Those are blocked on my calendar. A client cannot schedule time. I can see it. I'm not going to schedule something over it. Mm-hmm. It's there. It's important. I've created those blocks in my life to keep me from stepping over it. The time for this interview, I blocked that off of my calendar because it's important to me to be here, be engaged, be paying attention, get rid of the other declutter, the other distractions, right? So it's always coming back to what do you want to allow in? Now, mechanically, how can you do that? One thing is most people don't actually know how much time they're spending doing anything. So one of the first exercises that I have people do is what's called a 15-minute miracle. By the way, if you want to change that and make it a 30-minute miracle, it works the same way. Basically, all it is take a sheet of paper and put every 15-minute increments down on the sheet of paper. Have a timer go off on your watch or on your phone or on your computer. And every 15 minutes, jot down, what did I do the last 15 minutes? Again, if you want to do that in a 30-minute block because 15 minutes sounds excessive, fine, doesn't matter. The goal is to begin to kind of pay attention to what are you actually doing? Mm-hmm. Because I'll have people that say, oh, I never watch TV. And then we do this activity for a week and they've spent 17 hours watching TV during the week.
Yeah.
That's not never. know. And again, that's not a value judgment. It's not like watching TV is necessarily good or bad. It's just you have one perception of your time and the reality is different. So just like our money, most people don't know how much they spend on things unless they've tracked it and paid attention to it. So this is that tracking piece. And then there's, the next step is to then begin to intentionally design what do you want to do moving forward. Mm-hmm. And that's the blocking off and other, there's some other techniques around that. Mm-hmm. But it really comes back to paying attention to the kind of mental and emotional energy that you're allowing in. I mean, somebody's going, well, that sounds awfully woo-woo. It's not. It's actually backed by neurological science and research and everything else. It affects us. And so what you're focusing on is doing the right things as opposed to doing more things. Mm-hmm. And as you do that, everything else begins to become freed up.
Well, a couple of things you said there. you know, first of all, like actually figuring out where you spend your time. That's so important because it's like, you know, it's like, you know where you want to go, but if you don't know where you are, you got to know where you are before you know how to get where you're going to go. And another thing that you think that you said, I think was really important, like actually put time in the schedule. I can't tell you like how many people tell me they like, I'm going to declutter. And then they're like, oh, I just didn't get to it. I'm like, well, did you put it in your calendar?
Did you block it off? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that, you know, it's like you have to put that, put, you know, actually you put it in existence in there and do it. So.
Well, and for some people, you know, this may not apply to everybody right now because we're recording this in 2020, yeah. And everybody's life is kind of a little upended right now. But as an example, if I'm physically going to drive somewhere, I don't just block off the time for the appointment. I block off the time to drive there and to drive home, you know, because realistically, I'm not going to be doing anything else while I'm in the car other than maybe listening to a podcast. I'm not answering emails. I'm not writing, you know, a podcast episode. I'm not recording anything. I'm driving the car, you know. Yeah, I may be able to pick up some education and learn and you know, listen to something or engage in that way. But that's it. There's nothing real major that's happening. And yet a lot of times, what this is the folks that, you know, they're like, oh, I'm always running from thing to thing. And then the rest of my time, there's nothing there. Because the other thing that happens to us is we way overestimate the actual time we have available.
Yes.
And so we start the day with a to-do list that's 272 things long. Yep. And if you would have really actually looked at your calendar, you would have realized you only have an hour and a half free. Mm-hmm. You're not getting 272 things done in an hour and a half, you know, it's just not going to happen. It's not realistic. And so we set ourselves up right from the beginning for failure. Mm-hmm. And then we get frustrated and then we go, well, this whole thing doesn't work. And so we quit. Okay.
Right.
You know, same thing happens decluttering, you know, the closet, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to declutter my closet. And then you never put it on your calendar. Finally, you take 10 minutes one night right before you go to bed. You walk in the closet, you pull a couple of things down, you go, I'll get rid of those. This decluttering thing is stupid. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, you know, no, you know, you didn't actually do it. So there's a degree to which we kind of create our own self-fulfilling prophecies. You know, that can happen in our money. That can happen. It doesn't matter what area of life. Mm-hmm. It happens in our relationships. You know, all of this happens because we're not being intentional in designing our life.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, do you use a paper calendar or a digital calendar?
I use a digital tool. Mm-hmm. However, it doesn't matter to some extent. I'm agnostic about the particular tool you use. Mm-hmm. It's not about use this tool. It's about, are you using a tool that fits in with your personality, your mindset, your philosophy, and how you engage with it? The reason I use a digital tool is because a lot of my life is virtual. Mm-hmm. It's on the computer. Okay. I meet with clients on the computer.
Right.
Everything is kind of right here. This is where I live.
Yeah.
For a lot of my life. And so an electronic tool interfaces better with the way I deal with it.
Gotcha.
I have friends that are analog people. They use the old, you know, they use a Franklin planner or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. It's more about which one of these tools interfaces with the way you run your life.
Gotcha.
Interesting thing is if you've been using one for a long time and you have to switch to the other, mm-hmm. recognize there's a learning curve because they are not identical ways of managing your calendar. They're not, you know, universally 100% one-to-one. Mm-hmm. There's different ways that we engage with them. This is one of the problems that happens in productivity stuff mm-hmm. is you'll read the book on productivity. You'll try to implement exactly the tools that that particular person says. But if your personality and your life is different, those tools don't interface with you. And again, you come back to, well, this doesn't work. Well, mm-hmm. actually, you were probably using the wrong tools and the wrong system for your life. They work perfectly well for somebody else.
Yeah.
But you got to use the right ones for how your life is designed. So for me, it's an electronic tool.
Got it. Good. I was curious. You know what, in this series, we're focusing on, you know, time, energy, and decluttering our lives. What tips can you give us to declutter our lives?
So I already gave you one in terms of sit down first and do that 15-minute, 30-minute miracle tool.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So where do I go from there? Is kind of, you know, let me take you through a little bit of a journey. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I'm not going to say all, but almost all, I don't believe in absolutes. Okay. There's got to be somebody who's an exception to this rule, no matter. We kind of need to put into our life a certain set of tools and a certain set of routines. Okay. Now let me define. A routine is something that you do almost as a ritual. It's like it's an everyday occurrence. Mm-hmm. So it's the cornerstones that you kind of build the rest of your life around. These are the things that you put in, and they're your non-negotiables. This is going to happen every day, okay? And then the other is tools, and I recommend at least three tools. I really recommend that you try not to add too many more past that because it starts to get confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're using each of the tools for exactly what they're designed to do. Because one of the problems we have is we'll try to use the right tool for the wrong job. You know, use a screwdriver to drive a nail. Technically you can do that, but it's a lot of work, you know, it doesn't work real well. So don't do that, right? So let me kind of walk you through those. So the routines that I recommend is everyone should have a morning routine. That's a way to start the day.
Right.
An evening routine. That's a way to end the day. Mm-hmm. And then in between is a work startup and a work shutdown.
Okay.
Why? Morning routine is how do you set the beginning of your day? What are you doing at the beginning of your day that sets your intentionality, that sets your energy, that sets everything else up so that you're starting from a high point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, that includes some prayer time, that includes some scripture time, that includes some meditation, that includes some time to kind of sit down and just be quiet and, mm-hmm. and listen. All of these things are important things for me. There's also some self-care stuff, you know, drink a glass of water, brush my teeth, those sorts of things. So you, and again, your routine is going to look very different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you are in your life affects your routine. You've got small children of the age of school at home. Your morning routine is going to be different. Okay. Just deal with that. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge that reality. And then, you know, you can shift this. It can change over time. My morning routine now looks completely different than it did when I had to drive to the corporate office, right?
Yes.
Because got different amounts of time available, different control. So that sets the foundation for the day. And then the evening routine at the other end is mm-hmm. how do you downshift? Because one of the things that we'll do is we'll go all the way up to bedtime and we're still checking work email on our phone and we're still trying to engage with the world. And then we lay in bed like this going, exactly. I wonder why I can't sleep.
Yeah.
I know why you can't sleep. You know, your brain is still engaged. Mm-hmm. So how do you downshift your brain and bring your energy down to the appropriate place so that you can actually rest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have insomnia. Mm-hmm. I have sleep issues.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be very intentional about the hygiene that I use at the end of the night. And hygiene here is not just physical, wash my face. It's, you know, turn off screens at a certain time and do all of that mm-hmm. sort of stuff. So I downshift and can go into actual restful sleep.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, these routines do not have to be hour-long marathons. This can be a 15-minute, 5-minute kind of activity. It does not have to take hours and hours because that's one thing that people often think and it's wrong. And then work startup and work shutdown is if you have something that is kind of your work day,
mm-hmm.
by the way, that does not necessarily mean a paid job.
Right.
You know, a work day can be different things for different people, but a period where you're going to shift from kind of personal focus into some other kind of focus,
right.
You need a trigger or a gateway activity or routine. So like it may be checking email to see if anything came over. It's going through your to-do list for the day and making sure you've got the right, you know, most important things on it. It's turning on your computer or whatever, getting ready for that part of your day. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times what will happen is people just kind of drift into the workday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get to work, they're going to go get a cup of coffee, then they're going to go visit with someone, then they're going to do whatever. And then they wonder why they can't get all their work done. Well, if you're more intentional about designing that trigger, that transition, it allows you to be more efficient. And here we are talking about efficiency. which in turn lets you be more productive because you're making sure you're getting the right things done is the productivity piece, and you're doing it quickly and with the right kind of attention of energy and time. That's the efficiency piece. And then the work shutdown is, how do I transition out of work mode and leave work at work so that I can be home and present in whatever way that looks for you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got children, that means present with your children. If you've got a spouse, it means present with your spouse. If you've got a partner at home, present with your partner. If you're single, it means still present in your own space without work, okay? Because again, one of the problems nowadays is our work fills in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, so how do you allow time off of that work? Because that's what allows our brain to recharge and reset and refocus. And again, now when we come back to work the next day, the energy's there. And mm-hmm. you don't feel that drag and that drain because you've been able to step away from it.
Right.
Your subconscious will, without that kind of gateway transition, will continue to work on the work problems all night long. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you can learn to, it's shutting down the computer, it's checking your email at the end of the day and kind of deciding, is there anything here that I have to answer before I go home?
Right.
Answer it. Everything else can wait till the morning. Okay. Mm-hmm. By the way, I've worked with people who are salespeople, you know, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter what you can do this, you know, housewife, you know, stay-at-home dads, all of those people, they still need the same sort of structure. It's just going to look very different for them. What are those particular triggers? Because, you know, my triggers are around email and electronic tools. Your triggers may be physical stuff. Okay. Yeah. It depends on what you do and what your life looks like. So this is where there's a design piece. And then the tools piece is you've got to have a calendar. Mm-hmm. Calendars are really good at one thing, appointments. And an appointment is something that is designed where you have to be in a fixed time and space.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have to be on this computer for this interview at this time. That is an appointment.
Yes.
That goes on my calendar. I have to be at the doctor's office at 2 o'clock for an appointment. That's an appointment. Okay. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times what we put on calendars instead is to-do stuff. The things we need to do.
Right.
Well, unless they're at a fixed time and space, that's not an appointment.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily belong on a calendar. Now, that doesn't mean you can't block off time on your calendar, that this block of time is the time I'm going to spend editing a podcast, the time I'm going to spend working on email, the time I'm going to spend designing a new course, whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those can go on, but that's, you're making an appointment with yourself now. You're saying, I'm going to be at XYZ space at XYZ time to work on W, right? Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So that's a calendar. The second is a way of tracking what is on your list. People call them a to-do list. Mm-hmm. It is a way of capturing all of the information that's in your head, that is all the stuff that you've got to get done, and getting it out of your head and onto paper.
Right.
Because here's the truth. Your brain is really bad at remembering stuff. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, no, I've got a great memory. Yes, you do. That's a problem. Because the way you remember things is your brain sits there and repeats it to itself over and over again, mm-hmm. subconsciously.
Yeah.
Think about it. You've done this before. Somebody tells you the phone number and says you have to remember it, and you just start repeating it in your brain. And then you dial. And when you finish dialing, you stop repeating it. Your brain was just capturing it until you used it. Well, imagine if you're trying to remember the thing you have to do on the 31st.
Yeah.
From now till the 31st, your brain is sitting there going, remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this. But this is about getting that out of your brain and onto paper. Once you've developed a system where you really trust it, your brain will begin to forget those things, which is good because that doesn't waste energy. That doesn't waste time. That doesn't waste effort. Because have you ever been doing one thing and then your brain goes, oh, don't forget to do this other thing?
Yes.
You know? And now you're distracted, right? Because you're thinking about the other thing, okay? And it gets you out of the flow and out of the focus and out of using your energy. So it's a way of capturing the, you know, the to-dos. People will ask me, well, how many to-do lists should I have? And I say, you should have as many to-do lists as you have lives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
because here's the truth, right? If on your to-do list is picking up the laundry, mm-hmm. you know, from the dry cleaners, you're not working while you're picking up the laundry from the dry cleaners. You're picking up the laundry from the dry cleaners. And by the same token, if on your to-do list is send this, you know, send the TPS report to Jones, you're not picking up the laundry while you're doing the TPS report. And so if we keep a work list and a life list, you've automatically set up a conflict.
Yeah.
Because automatically your brain is going, which list do I pay attention to right now? Yeah. What's more important? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you integrate it, integrate your life because you've only got one life. Mm-hmm. That's a little controversial sometimes. And some people don't like to do that, but there is actually a benefit to it.
Yeah.
And then the last one is you need to have a way of being intentional about both tracking what happened and planning what you want to happen instead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a tool that it can be a spreadsheet. It can be jotted on a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be fancy, that allows you to project into the future. That's a plan. Mm-hmm. And then identify what really happened, because you want to integrate all of this into the process of, you know, plan, review, mm-hmm. reflect, revise. Mm-hmm. I wish I could come up with an R for the plan, but I can't, because it would be more alliteration, so that you're constantly looking at what happened, what didn't happen, what can I do, and how can I move forward in a more effective way, that kind of feedback loop. Because then if you're getting 1% better every single week, you're 52% better, at the end of the year. If you're getting 1% better every day, you're 365% better at the end of the year, whatever it is. So it's really not about striving for perfection. It's about slow and steady improvement.
Right. Love that. That's very good. Okay. You know what? I've got a couple of questions for you. What was your favorite book as a child?
Where the Wild Things Are, I think, was probably my favorite. That idea of the little boy going on the adventure. I've always loved adventure stories. Yes. I've always liked mm-hmm. treasure hunts. I've always liked that kind of framework. Now I'm a true crime aficionado. I love listening to true crime, same sort of mental space. For me, those things are really relaxing. And I think that even shows up as a childhood. I still like that kind of story of tales. So I think it was probably Where the Wild Things Are.
You know, I really love that book too. Maurice Sendak. I loved the illustration, the monsters in there. They were so, or the wild things, we'll call them wild things.
The wild things. Yeah.
I love that. So what's a movie that you can practically quote from start to finish?
And I warned Leanne, truth and function, I warned her not to ask me this question.
And then I'm like, I had to ask.
It's like, you have to ask. Yeah, for me, honestly, the best movie of all times, the movie that I love more than any other, I own like 4 or 5 copies of it, because every time they come out with a special edition that has a slightly different interview or something, I buy it, is The Princess Bride. That movie, and I quote it all the time, I'll constantly say, you keep using that word. Somehow I do not think it means what you think it means, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. I'll quote the whole movie to you if you let me, because that movie, it has so many lessons in it. And it's a comedy. It's a parody. It's not really, quote, a serious film. And yet so much of it for me is a serious way in film and approach that, but it kind of sneaks it in on you. You almost don't understand that you're getting these life lessons unless you reflect on it. Plus, it's a movie that you can watch with almost any age group.
Yes.
With mixed company, not mixed, doesn't matter. Everybody's going to enjoy something about it. Everyone's going to get something out of it. And, I can literally watch it. In fact, I watched it, it's about 3 weeks ago. With my goddaughters, and I'm having to kind of, cause I'm wanting to quote the whole movie as we're going through the movie. I'm having to cover my mouth cause I know what's coming.
I love that. Now I want to go watch it again.
Yeah. I love that film. And it stands the test of time too.
It's still very popular.
It's still very popular, very relevant. Did terrible when it came out in the theaters, but it's one of those movies that was saved by the invention of the VHS recorder. Exactly. Because without VHS tapes, it probably would never have had the popularity that it does today. But it survived because of it.
Love that. So I think you have a gift for the audience.
Yes, I do. If you go to inspiredstewardship.com/ACE, There's actually a button there you can download. So those tools and routines that we were talking about earlier, and that 15-minute miracle, there's actually resources in there for all of those things to help you begin to set up that first framework. Right. So there's a tracking tool in there. There's a planning tool in there. There's a kind of how to use it guide that goes along with that. Because I'm a time guy and I know how overwhelmed you can get, I'm not going to give you all 15 pieces at once. I give it to you over about five weeks, basically. Yeah. You get a little bit a week so that you can kind of drip it through and make sure that you're adding each piece as you go. And so you can get access to that over at inspiredstewardship.com/ACE. Okay. There's also a button there if you want to have a 30-minute conversation with me. There's no obligation to that. It's free. It's just, we'll jump on a call. And if there's anything I can do to help anyone kind of fine tune some of this, because so much of it is personal, perfectly willing to do that as well.
You know, that's great. And you know, audience, we will have a link to that somewhere. I'm like pointing down under the video.
down there.
So you can remember that, or you can push the button, whatever works for you. So before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts for the audience?
You know, I hope people hear the heart behind this and the mindset behind this, because it's a weird space when you start dealing with people's, you know, the keystones of our life, our finance, you know, how we organize our physical space, our relationships, our time, relationship with time. Because all of these things are so integral to who we are that there's a piece of us that it can almost feel like an attack. You know, asking someone to get rid of stuff out of your physical space. But it's mine. I don't want anyone to take it. And same thing happens with our time. Same thing happens with our money. Relationships, for sure, that can happen. And yet, sometimes it's really about taking that step back and recognizing that if you let everything into your life, then by definition, you're not letting the right things take a priority in your life. It's just because it's too cluttered. There's too much stuff. And so this act of learning, what am I going to say yes to, really affects everything in your life in a positive way. And if you pick one of them, the area that you want the most improvement, start there.
Yeah,
because everything else will come naturally after that as well.
I love that. That's really great. You know what, Scott, thank you so much. I've so enjoyed speaking with you today. I've gotten a lot of really good new tips that I'm going to apply. And I know that the audience has enjoyed this just as much as I have. I really do appreciate your time.
I have been honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. And audience, thank you for listening. I know that this was a really meaningful interview for you guys. And be sure to check your email tomorrow. There are going to be a couple of more really great ACE Your Space interviews. Until then, I will see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.